Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Coco's. We're having crab cakes here. I have not touched mine yet. I have not touched just
Nestor, I know we don't rate them. Hold on. I know we don't rate them.
Who is
but
we?
But you've had, I know, well, I know how you're rating it, Mayor. We know how you rate it. It's Baltimore's best. Nestor, I'm not telling you, I'm not going to ask you whether it's the best, where it ranks.
I haven't touched it yet.
Did you get any this summer that were bigger?
That is on the biggest side, yes.
Right.
This is the
on the line with the crab bomb down at Jerry's.
Marcella is here, and I've been trying to get Marcella on. Marcella, first off, Brandon, I've known Marcella since before the Ravens existed. Marcella and I used to be with Harvey Myers over at the Emerald Tavern. It was the only bar, and Marcella, you tell it, the only bar that had football games on.
Yeah.
After the Colts left, he had satellite dishes over there, and Marcella and I would be there on Sundays, and it'd be packed. And we'd all have the game. It'd be the Browns over here and the Steelers over there and the Oilers over here.
Foreshadowing with the Browns.
Well, it was the Browns backers fan club is met at the Emerald Tavern. They were very pissed when we took their football team.
They'll be all right.
Marcel, I've known you forever. Give me the Coco story here. How long have you been knowing the mayor?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I know he's been coming in for quite some time. He loves our crab cakes.
He said he lined up on the street during the pandemic, and
he
was out there grabbing a bag.
He did. He most certainly did.
Well, you've already killed one. You don't order a double here, right? The mayor gets doubles.
No,
right?
It's double on the menu now.
He started something.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I wanted to call it the mayor special, but.
Well, Marcella, how many years for Coco's? Give me the story behind this crab cake and a legendary East. We walked in here. I said to Don, I said, this place is legendary. And I throw myself on the sword. I've been here a handful of times. I do business with so many places with crab cakes that when I'm there, I don't even have crab. I don't have crab cakes at Costas anymore. I moved to the Crab Imperial because I was crab caked out to some degree. I've had crab cakes everywhere that when I choose to go out, I wouldn't choose to necessarily have a crab cake. So, but I have been in here for lunch on more than one occasion. I had a girlfriend that lived on Iona, and many years ago, my cousin grew up on Tyndale over by Berkshire, right around the corner, mm-hmm. and Mike Versigliano lives on Eastwood, and he's coming over a little later on. So I'm highly familiar with your area, but it's always been here as far as I know. Like, it's been here most of my adulthood.
Well, what is the history of Coco's? Walk us through it.
So, yeah, my parents started it in 1985. So we've been here for over 35 years now. Yeah.
Always a crab cake in 85, right off the bat?
Well, no. This was just a little neighborhood hole-in-the-wall bar on Harford Road. It was very dark and, you know, dark paneling, and it was just like a local neighborhood bar. And my mom started a kitchen because it didn't even have a kitchen when they first got it. And she would just have a small menu board with like four things. She would go to the grocery store that day, pick up a few things, and that's what we sold. And
you can't get any more authentic than that.
No.
I mean,
no.
Like literally.
What percentage? I look around and I did the same thing when I was in here a couple of years ago pre-pandemic with Rob Roblin. What percentage of the folks who come in order the crab cake? It looks to me like it's
92.
Got to be 80
yeah,
or 90.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
I would say it's a good 90%
right.
of our sales.
Yeah,
yeah.
It has to be. I mean, if you're coming here, you're getting a crab cake, right, Mayor?
I've never had anything else, so I would agree.
What else do you have on your menu?
We have a lot of other good food. And one thing the pandemic has done for us is people have tried all our other menu items.
Oh, sure.
And now we're selling everything. I mean, we were selling everything before, but a lot more. Burgers and ribs and wings,
now you had
salads.
You had some good news. I was telling Nestor, and he was actually setting up, and you and I were chatting off camera. Folks who have been reluctant and said, man, I'm going to go back sometime and get crab, but it's through the roof. You said there actually is light at the end of the tunnel, and the prices have started to come down. So tell our listeners, you said you've actually reduced the price of your crab cakes a little bit.
Yes, yes. We've actually had three decreases in the last month on our crab cake prices because they had to go up so high because our crab meat tripled in price over
did
the
summer.
Did
people stop buying? Because I got asked that in August. There were certain places. I went to Tilghman Island. I could not get a crab cake in Tilghman Island. Tilghman Island had no crab cakes,
right.
even though they pulled the crabs out of the water there because people down there just wouldn't pay $70. You know, they weren't. So they didn't put it on the menu. I know crab cake places really struggle with all of this summer.
Yes, we sure did. I'm sure everyone did. We we did the best we could at not increasing the prices as much as, you know, we could.
By the way, it's just
fair.
Delicious.
Good.
And I said, Nestor, it really is up. I'm not going to say it's up there with the others because we've got the mayor. We got to say, this. Everybody knows the mayor. I walk in, they play the cheer song. You know, everybody knows his name.
He's fist pumping everybody.
He loves it here. Mayor, I want to ask you, we got Marcella here. One of the things I'm interested in, because I've worked for a number of execs, had the opportunity to sit in that chair, everybody's style is different.
Yeah.
Take our listeners, take Marcella, peel the curtain back for us. What is... If I embedded a reporter with you for 6 or 8 weeks, what's Brandon Scott's style as a
manager? Checks his phone a lot. I've noticed this.
Yeah, what's the style of leadership?
It's just me being my authentic self, right? I think what I would say when someone asks me that question, Don, I'd say that you get a true and real Baltimorean being the leader of Baltimore, right? I'm not going to mince my words. I'm not going to do things that I think are wrong. I'm always going to make the decision that I think is best for Baltimore, even if it's not best for me.
How do you actualize? How do you put that into practice? In other words, is that morning meetings? People.
Is it
morning meetings with department heads? How do you put that vision into place? That's what I'm looking for.
So it's a couple of things, right? I think the way that I work with my exec team and my agency heads is that everybody, right? Everyone should know, right? I know you've seen it from time to time where folks who are in my position or the positions that you had or agency heads, they feel like they're a step above, like, the citizen. For me, every agency head knows that if I will talk to anybody coming down the street, you better do the same thing, right?
Walk down the street and there's a McDonald's wrapper, you pick it up and look for a trash can.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. We were having the fall mayor's cleanup a few weeks ago, right? And I'm very particular around when I'm doing a cleanup, I want to clean up. I don't want to do something where I'm going to get a couple of leaves. No disrespect to my beloved Northeast Baltimore, right? But I'm like, I don't want to clean up in my neighborhood because it's not dirty.
Right.
I want to go where the actual grime is. So my staff brought back a list of neighborhoods that we were going to go, and I just basically threw it back on the table. I said, we're not going there. This is what we're doing. The entire cabinet is coming with me on Saturday, and we're going to clean up in down in Southwest Baltimore off Wilkins Avenue, where we have in Carrollton Ridge, where we know it's the worst of the worst. And you'll see the videos in a few years when a documentary comes out, or look on Charm TV, and you'll see me out there digging in, right, making sure, knowing, teaching the agency heads who haven't, they're getting used to having to do that, right? We had actually a neighbor of Coco's from Live Baltimore, Annie Millie, who I love. Annie was ready, and she was going straight over to this big pile of trash ready to pick up. I said, hold on, gotta teach you something first. And I said, you gotta tap it first. And I tapped it with the shovel, and the rats start growing. She was like, oh, you gotta do that, right? But that's the kind
of mayor. Wasn't your first rodeo.
It wasn't my first rodeo, right? And like, they know on Friday nights, right? Like, we infamously, and you know how it goes, Don. You were the county administrator. You guys, if Kevin or Johnny were going to a neighborhood and you knew they were going to walk, you guys try to give that part of the city or the county a little bit more love.
Spruce it up a little bit before they get there.
So it's different when the mayor used to be a staff person. Yeah. So what I do is they say, oh, we're doing our weekly crime walk in Southwest Baltimore. I let them think that that's where we're going. And at Friday evening, 2 hours before, I say, no, I'm moving it to East Baltimore.
Mayor, that sounds a little Schaefer-esque to me.
That's what you have to do. So, and it makes them mad, but I'm like, no. I want you to see what I see, because I'm going to see it at night, and they know it's not uncommon for them to get a call from
me. You're not going to clean it up and have me come look at it.
No, exactly.
Well, let's build on that then, because I love, you know, when we met way back when, and Marcella, I want to get you talking a little bit about this neighborhood as well that the mayor loves. But, you know, 18 months or so ago when we sat with Kurt Schmoke, president of University of Baltimore, former mayor, he said, you know, some things never change. It's crime and grime. And right now, one of the things I continue to hear about is the graffiti and the dirt. So you're right in that neighborhood. When are people going to begin to say, daggone it, you know, since Mayor Scott's been in there, we're on top of the graffiti and the streets are cleaner. When will they start to feel that, Mayor?
Yeah, Don, I think, and you would understand this more than anyone, especially with the pandemic, there has been no part of city government impacted by the pandemic, like a DPW solid waste division that does that work, right? When you think about the fact that they didn't get to take off, right? They're dealing with trash. They're putting themselves at risk in COVID that no one else had to. They're working three in a truck, right? So many of them got sick. But something else that I think people have not considered. All of us were at home, so they're also working three times as hard. There's much more trash for them to deal with because everyone's at home. So people are getting hurt. You add on to the pandemic the issues that we have nationwide with CDL drivers and things like that. And when I took office, Don, remember, we didn't have recycling. We didn't have recycling. We didn't have street sweeping. We didn't have bulk trash. We didn't have a graffiti removal program at all. None of them existed at that point.
We didn't have a graffiti removal program a year ago?
No. It was cut. It had to be. They cut. So I had to make decisions on how we were going to responsibly bring those things back, because the worst thing to do would be to bring it back and then have to go away again. So first we brought back recycling, right? Because we got the staffing up to a point where we brought recycling. Because to do basic trash pickup, we had to move people from recycling, from street sweeping, to do all of that. So we did recycling. Then we came back and said, okay, how can we go to the next phase, right? The next phase was looking at how we can bring back picking up bulk trash, right? So we have it up to do that in that way. And we did this in a way that's very unique to our point earlier. We work with organizations like Living Classrooms and the Lazarus Right to hire people who are looking for a second chance employment to get them into these jobs, right? And now we have the bulk trash back up. Then we had to reinstate the graffiti in the budget. I had to put a graffiti removal program back into the budget. We're now going to be using ARPA funds to bolster these things so that we can get these services up to where they need to be. It's something that it takes time, and I can see the progress each and every day. I know
I was going to ask you, can you see it?
Oh, absolutely. I can see it. We have some.
Well, you've been involved in the city a long time. Yeah. You know things weren't working. Yeah. It's one of the reasons you ran.
And it's you know, but I think what gets happening, especially not you guys, but other people in the media, to not name nameless, y'all know who I'm talking about, what folks think that it is, it's a flip of a switch. You can't take a government that has been operating in an outdated, ineffective way for 50 years and think that one day I'm going to flip the switch. Think about it like this. When I took office, DPW didn't even have route software in their trucks, right? That's something that we did and that we're continuing to do, right? Don and them have had that in Baltimore County for decades, right? Like that kind of stuff, basic things that will help the city be the best version of itself moving forward. That's why we're committed to doing that. As Don said, hinting to earlier, ignoring the noise and ignoring the politically expedient path, doing the right path so that businesses like Marcella and the great folks here at Coco's and residents, not just here in Northeast Baltimore, but around the city, know that we're moving in the right
way. I don't care if you, and I know you're on a tight schedule, I don't care if you call it city stat or Scott stat or whatever it is. How are you? Two quick things, we'll get out of here.
I'm going to talk about this crab cake. We're not getting out of here.
Then we're going to talk with Marcel about the crab cake. How do you keep track of the progress? In other words, you're saying, I know it's getting better. I feel it's better. I think people might say, Mayor, how do you know?
Yeah. So as you know, I grew up working in the mayor's office, so I know about city stat in a very deep way. So we have a clean stat that we monitor those things. And what's different, we went back to actually having an inspector, right? So I love my DPW director, right? But I'm smart enough to know that I can't just take his word for it. So we have the inspector go out to see, and we'll, you know, bring up on the board, you guys said this was clean, or you guys said this was fixed. Here's what it looks like. And nothing gets the city stat room or the city stat Zoom in many cases as quiet as when I say to the city stat director, Dan Heimowitz, Dan, I'm taking over the screen. And I put pictures up about things that I saw and that I had put into 301 anonymously that were closed.
The room probably
right?
gets pretty quiet.
It gets very quiet. Very quiet. And I do the same thing. Actually, we had a 2-hour police stat yesterday, right, where I am able to dig deep into those things in a different way to say, like, yeah, I know you guys are doing this. Yes, I'm appreciative that we've arrested more people for homicide, guns, and all of these things. But in this particular area, and we do deep dives, not just the superficial things that folks think, like raw numbers, around the proximity, the time of day, the people, all of those kind of things are how we monitor. And that's how I know, Don, for example, you hear me talk about the rise in interpersonal disputes. That's how I know that 45% of our domestic-related armed robberies involve someone trying to take someone's cell phone for some reason. I know that because we use the data in a very deep way.
Brandon Scott is here. He is our mayor. Marcel is here. Don Moeller's here. I want to say one thing before we let you go. And
is it that first off, the best crab cake?
French fries are great. The tomato, Marcella, when the tomato came, it looked like my mom made this plate because my mom would have sliced a fat tomato, like juicy tomato, and she would have put the pepper right on it because my mom was from the South.
Right.
So when I saw this, I'm like, now, one little contention. I don't see any cocktail or tartar. Everywhere I went, they serve tartar. You eat tartar sauce?
No.
On fish sticks, you eat tartar sauce.
No.
I don't eat. Nobody eats tartar sauce with a crab cake, but everybody serves it. So give me your little, like, how, why it's served this way. This is
are you looking for the recipe? Are you trying to get her to give up the recipe?
It sounds
well, I did
like
taste
me,
some
dog.
Stuff in here. I will say this. This is a unique tasting crab cake. I have not tasted one exactly like it. It has something in the slurry. I don't know what it is, but I'm trying to figure it out. And luckily for me, it's a really big crab cake, so I have more to try to figure it out.
You have plenty
Marcel,
of time.
I'm researching.
You said you've been here since 85.
Since 85.
When did the softball-sized crab cake arrive?
It started probably, I would have to say maybe around 1990. My mom started making crab cakes. We had a little pizza oven that we cooked our crab
cakes
in.
Did she make it from her grandmother's recipe, or was it? Does it come from East Baltimore? Where's it come from?
It's from East Baltimore. My mom always worked in the business, and she worked at the pump room down on North Avenue.
Okay.
Years ago.
Well,
I'm going to give this high praise and say it's similar to an Angelina's crab cake. And that, there's no... You ever have an Angelina's crab cake, or are you too young for that?
No, I haven't, but... You know how I'm about comparison.
Well, they were right up the street, right?
He's not going to give you an inch.
I'm not giving you an inch.
Yeah, Angelina's was famous for the crab cake.
In that family, that style,
I
would say.
Let me, and I know the mayor.
It was my favorite style, by the way.
I know the mayor has to run, but with Marcella sitting here, I want to comment on an editorial that I read on the way here today. And I just shook my head, and I was embarrassed as a Baltimore Countyan.
Oh.
I know you read the editorial. It talks about a former state senator who I have a nice relationship with, Senator Jim Brosian, who lost to Johnny by 17 votes.
Thank
famously.
God for those 17
votes. Those 17 votes, as the sun said. The senator went on WBAL radio this weekend and is trying to organize Nestor, flying in the face of everything we've tried to accomplish in Baltimore Baltimore Positive, trying to organize a boycott of Baltimore City and Baltimore City businesses by Baltimore County residents.
Now, is
he out of his mind? I've never heard about this.
No, he is out of his mind. But also, I think that when you think about what he's talking about, right, and as in the Sun editorial board hit it spot on, in my opinion, you can't think about a symptom as the cause of the problem, right? And he's going off about young people and young women who squeegee, et cetera, et cetera. And as the sun said, and I say to people all the time, if anybody thinks that that's a top 10 issue in Baltimore, then something's wrong with them. And I think that the former senator should consider maybe coming and talking to someone like me. Consider that what he says has deep, deep, deep racial undertones and overtones and extra tones.
Not even a dog whistle.
No, it's not a dog. It's a full-blown dog pack is what it is.
Right.
And we cannot have people who are supposed to be so smart be so stupid to say things like that, because we know that we will not be the best state that we can be, the best region that we can be. Thank God we have Johnny and Stuart and Calvin until we as a city are the best place.
Well, I thought of immediately. Thank you.
I'll be with Barry Glassman next week up at Comrades as well, and that's part of. I say to people all the time, we need to get people back to the city. And thank you for coming out.
Thank you, Mayor.
You've been on the phone the whole time.
Ma'am, as always, thank you.
Why that phone you got that flips open? I kind of like that.
My last point is the mayor runs about Senator Brosian. I thought because we were coming here today, people like Marcella who have their lifeblood. You've invested everything you have in this restaurant. And for someone to suggest that people should
not come here and support the city.
It's beyond insulting. It's stupid. Right. I'll leave it at that. Well, Marcella,
wonderful.
Well, the mayor's gone. I want to talk about this crab cake a little bit more because you were talking about your mom and talking about making it here.
Senator McCray's just walked in. He's going to join.
Look out. Senator Cory McCray's in the house. We got more guests coming by here because the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play more on the crab cake and on the recipe and on the story because I don't want to give short shrift to this because I'm eating the tomato, but I'm into it and I'm trying to figure out what's in this, and it's not never changed in 31 years, right?
Has not.
What's in it? Come on.
I'd have to kill you.
She'd have to kill you. Marcel, I just want to say it's a phenomenal. If you have not, I don't care where you live.
It's legendary.
Harford County.
Literally legendary.
Anne Arundel County. Howard County. All my good friends in Baltimore County.
Todd Shuler rolled in here from Calvert Hall in Essex. He came over here from Essex, and this is where he gets his crab
cakes. Listen. I made it over here from Catonsville today in 25 minutes. Easy little drive. You can get here. This is, as Nestor said,
When do they open Harford Road? I should ask the mayor that.
Oh, the bridge?
Yeah, when's it happening?
It's supposed to open this fall, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Falls over.
Yeah. Exactly.
Coco.
Hopefully soon.
Coco's
I would like
pump.
To know that, too, so we can be prepared.
All right. I'm gonna wrap up this segment. We're going to come back. Senator Cory McCray's here. Mike Ricigliano's coming by at some point. I got friends from Coppin State coming by. We are the voice of Coppin State. We're in the city, in Baltimore City, making it happen. We're in Lauraville. We're at Coco's. Stay with us. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play.